welcome, everyone. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network proudly presents Pro Wrestling Obsession Live. And the gang is almost all here. I've got Sean the Blitz Forrester here. How are you doing tonight, Sean?
Doing good. How about you?
Well, doing pretty well, buddy. I've got the Bowmeister, Bo Johnson, with us as well. Bo, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
And the Prophet Rick Craig is myself. I'm here. We hopefully will have Miss Mojo herself, Ashley Johnson, showing up later here on the show tonight. Got a very special guest coming up, but let me do some plugging here before we get started. As mentioned earlier, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network is our sponsor here. You can reach them at www.blogtalkradio.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You can hit them up at www.facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, www.prowrestlingpowerhouse.com, or if you want to hit them on Twitter, at PW Powerhouse. Ourselves, Pro Wrestling Obsession, we do have a Facebook page and group as well, www.facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Obsession. Tonight, we, as said earlier, have a very special guest. We have former TNA star, half tag team partner, Inc., Jesse Neal, joining us tonight. Jesse, how are you, sir?
Good, man. How about you guys?
No, doing pretty well. Doing pretty well.
Good. Sounds good.
I guess before we really get going, let's talk a little bit about, as we just finished up on Memorial Day weekend, and your time in the services and what that really meant to you and what it's done for you in pro wrestling. You've had the opportunity, Jesse, to, a couple times where you've actually got to wear your uniform and stuff like that in the ring and be able to show your patriotism. Well, guess what's that meant to you?
Actually, it meant a lot to actually go on TV and show, you know, basically the world, you know, how I felt. And, you know, even though it was pro wrestling, it's still real, you know, especially when it comes to that, you know. And, you know, with TNA allowing me to come in and let me, you know, share my real story and stuff like that, it was awesome for them to do that. Would I have done what I would have loved to do more with it? Of course, but, I mean, you know, it's pro wrestling still, so it has to be entertaining, I guess, you know. But that's what I'm trying to do, though, with wrestling is bring something real to the fans that they can bite into, you know, instead of, you know, a real character. And I don't even know why I call it a character. You know, it's just a real person when I'm out there because it's a real story. You know, back in when I graduated high school, I went straight to the Navy, and I served on board the USS Cole. And it was bombed in October 12, 2000, and I lost 17 of my shipmates and friends. We were, you know, a close little group out there, you know, and that was our home, and it was taken from us. And, you know, we did all we can. We saved our ship, and we saved as many shipmates as we could and brought it home like we're supposed to do. And for me to come out of the military and wanted to do something with my life and wanted to, because, I mean, I felt like I'm not much of a religious person, but, you know, I'm still here for a reason. You know, that's what I felt when I left the Navy. And I wanted to do something with my life, something big, so that way I can tell my story to other people and keep the coal, the ship, my brothers that we lost, you know, and you know, just the people that survived that, to keep our story alive and to know, to tell people that, you know, freedom ain't free. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people say it and stuff like that, but they really don't know what that really means. You know, especially like you just said, the Memorial Day, you know, and, you know, now I'm on the radio show, you know, I want to say thank you to everybody that, you know, sent me the Happy Memorial Day stuff and on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. I really appreciate every word of that. We all do from the military. And, but they really need to know what Memorial Day and Veterans Day and stuff like that are really for, you know, and I think a lot more people are starting to open their eyes to that. And that just makes me a happy man, you know, because that's what I'm trying to do while I'm in pro wrestling. So, you know, it's just keep trying to keep the story alive and keep me busy, you know, so, and it's still going.
Without trying to dredge up too many, I guess, past memories or sad memories, how were you guys able to save the coal? I guess, what did you guys do to be able to save your ship, and how were you able to get out of it with your life intact, I guess?
Basically what we did, man, I mean, it was mass casualties, you know, it was basically worst case scenario that we've ever trained for, but that's what we do in the Navy. And I mean, military across the band is we train for stuff like this to happen. And once it happened, you know, everything clicked in us that, you know, our training clicked, just, it was like a switch, man. It just came right on for all of us. And we came together as a family and took care of our ships and did what we had to do out there. It was nuts, man. I mean, you could basically, like, the pictures of the ship after the bombing don't even express, like, what we had to go through. You know, it was very emotional and stuff, and I won't get much into it because I can't really. But
right.
But the hole, like, you could literally drive two Mack trucks right through the hole. That's how big it was, and can't really see the size difference in the pictures and stuff. But, I mean, it was a huge hole, and I was right in the middle of that. We were dumping water. As soon as the water was coming in, we were dumping it right out in certain spaces, and I was right there in the middle of that, hooking up hoses and stuff and doing what I had to do, you know. So it was definitely a crazy time.
Kind of got a little special connection to the Navy myself. Not that I've been in the Navy, but my grandfather was in the Navy during World War II, and he was doing electrical work in the early morning and looked out. He was the only person, I guess, out on the ship at the time and saw a Japanese submarine starting to come up from the, you know, out of the water. And it was a scary time for
wow.
him. He thought he was going to die for sure, and it went away. But you guys
wow,
weren't
that's
as lucky.
Crazy. I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, that's a horrible feeling. And it's just a tremendous amount of pride for me to be able to even speak to somebody who's in the military. And I thank you, Jesse, and everybody who's listening, who's spent any time in the military, for keeping me free and the rest of our country. We appreciate it greatly.
Definitely. Thank you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about wrestling. So you got out of the Navy. What got you into wrestling in the first place? I guess, have you been a fan for your whole life, or is it something that somebody suggested to you, or?
I think I just rolled out of bed and pumped my head and said, I just want to be a pro wrestler. No, I mean, I was always a fan of it since I was a little kid and stuff. And, like, Sting was my favorite growing up and stuff because he was, like, my hero, you know, my little superhero guy, you know, that when I was a little kid. And I was just a fan of it. You know, I really never even thought of myself being able to do something like that because, you know, I seen it as it was so athletic and stuff, and I wasn't really an athletic kid, you know, going through high school and stuff. I never really did that much sports. I did a few things, but that was it. Never really was much in sports. So that's why I went in the Navy. I didn't really have anything else to do. So, and I wanted to see the world and get away. So that definitely did it for me. And then when I came back, you know, going through that bombing and coming out of the Navy, really, and a lot of people should know this too, that, you know, it's hard for veterans to come back to civilian life, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and I thought, you know, I went through a lot of trial and error, you know, and a lot of dark times, you know, when I got out of the military, because I just didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was going on, you know, and you know, I ended up bouncing at a club, and a friend of mine come up and said something about a wrestling school right by where I live, and I was like, well, what kind of wrestling school? And she, you know, just told me about pro wrestling. And Bubba and Devon school, and I'm like, well, this is too good to be true. So then I'm like, it could become a reality, you know what I mean? Because I've always wanted to do something, and I seen that this was my way in, you know, and my start. So I met Bubba the first day, and it hasn't ended since, so I'm still doing good.
What was it like, I guess, your first exposure working with one of the premier tag teams of all time, you know, the Dudleys and the Road Warriors are, you know, widely accepted as two of the greatest tag teams in the history of the sport. I mean, you got to go in and work with a legends.
Yeah, I mean, for one, to train with them is one thing. I mean, because I paid the money to train there. You know what I mean? Basically,
right.
I picked them, you know, to bust my ass and do whatever I had to do. But to finally get to TNA, and I mean, I was very lucky to get signed really quick in my career. And get the experience, and then moving up, and then Shannon came in, and we formed Ink Inc. And then the honor and the privilege just to be in the ring with Team 3D was insane, especially just because, you know, they're kind of like my wrestling fathers. You know, Bubba took me under his wing from the first day, pretty much the first year I was training, he was there with me 5 days a week. So that's, I mean, you can't even beg, you can't even pay $1 million for that kind of training that I got. So I am very lucky for what I went through that first year, you know.
Sure.
And just just to be in matches with them. Like, I've had street fights with them, table matches in the Hammerstein Ballroom, the old ECW Arena,
mm-hmm.
Concussions. Thanks, Bubba. but they were beatings, man, and it was a fight, and I'm honored to go through that. And now, even if I ended my career today, I can always look back and say, wow, look what I did. You know what I mean? I've done things in my short, long-lived career, I guess you can call it, so far. You know, I've done things that people, you know, don't even get the chance to do, and I'm honored for that. I'm very lucky, and I'm very privileged.
Jesse, how proud are you now seeing Bully Ray in his position? I tell you what, watching him, and I've been involved with watching wrestling for 40 years. I'm an old fart. But watching him progress from just being a tag team specialist into a premier heel, when, you know, leading the Aces of the Eights, he's the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. That's got to send a sense of pride to you.
Oh, it's unbelievable just to see his transformation, especially when I was a kid, a teenager growing up, and I went to the ECW shows in Kissimmee and Orlando and stuff like that, and it was just to see him from that and then them actually be my trainers, and then I got to wrestle them in TNA as a tag team, then they split up, and then, you know, they came back together in Aces of Eights, and Bully, now he's the world champ. It's unbelievable. It's an honor just to say he's one of my teachers, you know what I mean? Because I'm a product of his, you know, his knowledge, his brain, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
I'm very honored and that, you know, just to know that Bubba is, you know, world champ. It's awesome.
I tell you what, he has impressed me just so much over the last 2 years, just watching him grow, you know, as a singles competitor, getting better and better, and his microphone work is just phenomenal. I think he's the premier heel in all of wrestling. I really do.
Yes, he is. it's funny because I see him in you know, backstage and of course, you know, at the school and stuff like that or whatever. But that's Bubba. that's Bully Ray right there, and he's getting paid a lot of money
to be himself.
And that's awesome to see, because that shows me that, you know, there's always a spot for Jesse Neal, because nobody's really seen me yet, so. But, yeah,
when you got
just seeing him go out there and do his promo, just his promos alone, like, it gets the hair standing up the back of your head, your neck and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost what you would want to tell that person that you really hate in real life, just what he said last Thursday night, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
I love what he's doing. It's awesome.
It is awesome. You went to their school, and then you got into TNA pretty quick. You really didn't spend a terrible amount of time in the Indies, right?
Yeah, it was almost, I think, a year and a half, almost 2 years. I signed my contract. I was very lucky. I was in the right spot at the right time, with the right look, you know what I mean, and the right story,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, I was like what every rookie should do, or greenhorn, or whatever you want to call them. You shut your mouth and you open your ears and you listen and you soak up everything like a sponge from the veterans, and that's what I did. And they took to me really, because I was very respectful and I was very humbled being there, and I just you know, I was, like I said, a sponge. I soaked up everything I could. I've only been in this wrestling business for 6 years. And I've learned so much in these just short 6 years because of where I was, you know, I was lucky to be at and who my trainers were. But I also had the heart and the ambition to be the best. And I'm on the road. I'm on that right path to be the best, because now I'm very busy on the Indies. I actually still worked the Indies when I was with TNA. So I was still heavily busy on the Indies. Not as busy as I am now. I'm booked
right
every weekend now. It's crazy. I love being on the Indies, back with the boys I basically got raised with, you know, in the wrestling business. And I'm adventuring out, too, to all kinds of different Indies also, like up north, out west. You know, I'll basically go anywhere. There's money and there's a crowd to entertain. I'll be there.
That's awesome. So when you did get into TNA, you pretty much immediately, for the first year or two that you were in TNA, worked almost exclusively with 3D, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was first brought in with Rhino. I got to work with him just a few times. And then we started a group up, bringing back like the old ECW crew, you know, it had Bubba and Devon and Rhino. And then they brought me in as that new blood, you know, that because I've been trained old school ways, but with new generation tools, like new, you know, new thought, new look, new, you know, but I still have that old school mentality, the respect, you know, and everybody's seen that backstage and also on camera too. You know, I did it in my own little way because, you know, I have my own unique way of living, I guess. But you know, and everybody took to it, and it was a good little group that we had. And when I, like, even when Bubba and Devon, I'll give you an example, when Bubba and Devon came out with the New Japan tag team belts, like, Bubba had me carry one out. I mean, that right there, you know what I mean? I got a picture of
that's
that
huge
standing next to him. Yeah, and he did it, you know, he did it for a reason, you know, and just to walk out there was such an honor, and it'll always be in my brain, you know, for all of my life with this, that just having that belt on my shoulder. I mean, yeah, granted, I didn't earn it or anything like that, but, you know, he had me carry it out. That little bit right there humbled me, you know what I mean? Just something that was special to him let me carry it out. You know, it was an honor. It was awesome.
Well, it also shows what kind of respect he had for you, and, you know, to
yeah.
even allow you to do something like that. So that's got to say something for you as well.
Yeah, yeah, it was amazing. Like, I want to do so much more in the wrestling business, but, you know, obviously it's the wrestling business, so, you know, you got to wait for opportunity or find
sure.
opportunity, and I'm definitely finding it. So
I'm doing
more than finding my opportunity. I'm making it, and I'm hunting it down.
That's what you do, brother. Hey, I've got a couple people calling in. Can you hang for just a second for me? 404, is that you, Ashley?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Miss Mojo is in the house. Excellent. We also have another caller coming calling in as well. Let me find out who we have here as well. Area code 928, who am I talking to?
Hey, speaking of Roy Lucer.
Hey, Roy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Just enjoying your guys' show. Just keep doing what you're doing. It's just an honor to, you know, be calling in and listening to, you know, Jesse's stories.
I'll tell you what, do you have a question you want to ask Jesse while I've got you?
Well, I did want to ask Jesse, growing up, like, who were some of the people that I really hate the word idolize, but who are some of the wrestlers that you would watch more than other wrestlers that you would pattern yourself after?
You actually mentioned it earlier. I'm actually a huge fan of Animal. I mean, Hulk, too. The Road Warriors were my favorite. I know, hopefully, Bubba and Devon don't hear this, but they're actually my favorite tag team of all time. They can come over.
Great.
And Animal, I always watched him because he was always the powerhouse, you know? And, I mean, I'm not such a huge guy, especially like them guys. Those guys were, oof, in their day, man, they were huge, you know what I mean? Like, larger than life. But I always watched those guys. They had their own unique style where it wasn't pretty, but it got the job done. You know what I mean? But I kind of try to do that when I'm in the ring, you know, but I mean, I try to make it look pretty. We all know it's pretty. But, you know, I try to bring that new generation to it, but I try to have that my own style type of way. You know what I mean? Like, nobody can really say, oh, Jesse Neal is a high flyer or Jesse Neal is Lucha or, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So I would probably have to say Road Warriors. I watch those guys a lot, and I try not to imitate, you know, too many wrestlers because I try to do my own thing. But of course, everything great in wrestling is stolen and twisted a little bit. So, you know, I try to do what I can.
Sure. I've got a question, Jesse, also from somebody as part of my the Pro Wrestling Obsession Facebook page, and he had a question that he would like to ask you as well. It is from Prakar Chandra. He is from India, and he wants to know what your thoughts on teaming with Shannon Moore were.
What's that? What's
your thoughts on teaming with Shannon was?
Oh, what's my thoughts on it? It was actually, that was an honor, too, in itself, because when I saw Shannon come in, I thought my job was done. Mohawk and tattoos, I'm done.
Right.
But Shannon, man, he was awesome. We actually sat down when he came in, and he really wanted to take me under his wing, you know, for, you know, TV purposes and show me the ways, you know, and help me out a little bit. So I felt real real humbled by that, too, when Shannon, and I was honored by that because, I mean, hell, he's been in the business for, what, almost 18, 19 years, something like that, and I was just, man, I was stunned. So I, being in the ring with him and just being part of that tag team division that we had there at TNA was amazing, man. We did a lot of good things there, a lot of great matches, and I learned so much just being a part of that Ink Ink team. So, and I think we might be having a little, we might be getting back together a little bit. I don't know. We'll see.
That'd be cool. He also wants to know, did you get all of your tattoos specifically for your tag team, or was it a personal decision of yourself?
No, I started my tattoos way before TNA. I just hid them pretty well. I actually, my whole thing about tattoos is they got to mean something. And with mine, it's so much. And it's all in one, you know, one tattoo, I believe, because it's kind of like my battle armor, you know, going in for the fight. You know, it's my shield in life, because every day in life is a battle, you know, I believe. And it's my shield. It protects me, you know. I'm not really a religious man, but it's kind of spiritual a little bit, you know, the energy in the world, mm-hmm. You know. And, you know, it's my shield. It protects me.
So how did, I mean, we know storyline-wise, but how did the team come about? How did TNA decide, I mean, did TNA decide to pair you, or did you guys bring it up to them? Or I guess how did that work out on getting Ink Ink together?
We actually brought it up to them, and
cool.
I mean, it was more Shannon's doing, because he wanted it to do, you know, the tag and stuff like that. And he's seen where I came from with Bubba and Devon, and he's seen potential in me and wanted to start tagging with me and stuff and get on the road together and start learning the Oasis, you know. And we just did, and it was great. And TNA was okay with everything, and they loved what we were doing. So we were very lucky with that.
I tell you what, you guys have had a lot of phenomenal matches. I mean, watching you guys do battle with, you know, Team 3D, watching Generation Me or Desmond and Magnus or the Motor City Machine Guns or whomever it may be, even Mexican America. You guys had outstanding matches, and it just seemed like you guys were always on the cusp of winning those tag team titles. What
seemed
kept
like that, didn't it?
Ink Ink from being TNA Tag Team Champions of the World?
Well, I look at it this way. I mean, of course, I've always wanted to hold a belt. I mean, I feel that a belt is very, what's the word? There's a big word. My head hurts. Distinguished, I think that would be the word.
Yes.
Just to hold a belt in a company on TV, I think, is very, very important to do in your career. Just to show, you know, that the respect from fans, respect from the office, respect from the company, you know, all that stuff, that they can hold you up to a certain level, and you're basically the face, you know. And so me and Shannon, we fought night and day, man, in those matches and stuff, just to be able to hold on to the belt, you know, and we always fell short for some reason, so.
It seems like you complimented each other very well. I mean, you guys work really well in the ring together as a team. How are you able to blend your styles? I mean, you guys are fairly similar wrestlers, but then again, you both bring something different to the table. What do you feel each of you brought differently that complemented each other?
Honestly, because it was still pretty much the beginning of my career and me getting more comfortable in front of that camera and stuff and just being comfortable in the ring, you know, especially on that kind of level so soon in my career. At that point, I believe, you know, I was kind of the more powerhouse guy because I could pick pretty much anybody on the roster up on my shoulders and throw them wherever I want. and Shannon was more of the, you know, the high flyer and stuff. But as I started, like, once I left TNA and stuff, and I started doing a lot more on the indies and stuff like that, there's so much more that the fans haven't seen of, you know, Jesse Neal, because I'm a high flyer, too. I jump off the rope almost, off the top rope almost every match. You know, I get a little crazy in there every now and then. I, you know, get my, you know, my bestie over here all worried, you know, my PR girl, you know. And, you know, I get them cringing a little bit, but I like to jump off the top rope. I mean, I don't flip or anything, go all crazy with it, but, you know, I like to do that for the fans, you know, and I like to surprise them and stuff because they don't really see that much coming from me. But then, you know, I do it for them. So, and that's what we're there to do, is entertain the fans that pay, you know.
Jesse, we've got our girl Ashley Mojo Farmer on the phone with us. She is currently in the Air Force, so she shares the military background experience with you. Ashley, did you have any questions that you would like to ask Jesse this evening?
I actually did. I was thinking about this because Christy Von Erie, one of my favorite female wrestlers of all time, she was in Triple A off for a good amount of time, and she had great matches. Now, what I'm wondering is, when is Conan going to put you in Triple A, Jesse?
Well, let me first start off by saying thank you for your service. I really appreciate it. And actually, since I left TNA, me and Christina has actually parted ways, unfortunately. But, you know, we fell on different paths once I left TNA, and, you know, she's engaged to another wrestler somewhere. You know, I wish her all the best in her career. I mean, she's definitely very talented in that ring. As long as she knows that it's to entertain the fans, she'll be all right, just like the rest of us, you know. But I wish her all the best. But, yeah, we definitely parted ways a long, long time ago.
Yeah. Y'all made such a cute couple. It made me happy. I was like, they're so adorable.
It was a good thing. But it was good. It was good. We looked.
The thing I want to really know, I guess, is obviously you guys got a huge push right before you parted ways with TNA, where, you know, the big tattoo parlor scene, and you guys were getting ready to go for the championships again, and.
Yeah,
then all of a sudden,
parlor scene was like that was actually mine and Shannon's idea, which was very cool.
Great segment, Jesse. I loved
it. That's actually where I get my tattoos done at.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we set Mexican American up pretty damn good.
Anyway, it was a cool segment. You guys, you know, just brought Toxin in, you know, to help you in the war with Mexican America and Sarita. And then it was over, just like that. What happened? I guess, why didn't this angle get to take off, and why did you end up leaving TNA?
Well, I mean,
if you're at liberty to tell us.
Well, of course. Me and TNA, we have no burnt bridges or anything like that. Matter of fact, I heard from Dixie not too long ago wishing me a happy birthday. So there's much respect still there, of course. But you know, it came a time where, you know, they really, I felt like we weren't really, I actually went to the office and told them, you know, what can I do to, you know, make myself more valuable to the company and to the fans. And, you know, me and the office went back and forth a little bit and talked, you know, about a few things. And, you know, I just felt it, you know, time for me to walk away, you know, in my career and stuff, because I had to take care of some family issues and stuff at the time anyways. But, you know, it was just time for me to go, I thought. You know, sometimes wrestlers need to go and go away for a little bit and refresh and come back, you know, stronger than ever for fans, you know, because that's what it's about anyways at the end of the day. But, yeah, I just honestly tell you, I felt like it was time to walk away from TNA at the time. So
was there any creative frustration, I guess, or on your part besides, you know, your family issues? I mean, did you feel they're just not going to take me where I'd like to go, or is it just really that simple?
Honestly, we didn't really have any creative, like, issues, because a lot of the creativity or from creative, they were coming to us for, because with Ink Inc., because they were kind of letting us do our thing, you know what I mean? So it was kind of good, but, I mean, to be honest with you, it was just, you know, family issues I had to take care of, and I thought it was a good point in my life, you know, to walk away at that time. So, which I'm kind of glad, because I'm in way better shape now than I've ever been. So it definitely motivated me to get back in the scene. So,
well, that's awesome. Another question on TNA real quick while I'm thinking about it. When they had Shannon flirting with a heel turn where he was, you know, being disrespectful, who was it, Steiner and somebody else was in the ring?
Steiner,
yeah, where he was. Crimson, yes. And then, you know, he was on that path for a couple of weeks. And then in typical TNA fashion, and I'm not trying to bash TNA because I love TNA and I like them more than WWE, but the frustration with me for them was always dropping storylines without an explanation and not following through, which they are doing much better now. What happened with that? Why didn't they continue with explanation as to why Shannon was, you know, doing what he was doing? And then 2 weeks later, he's back to chummy, good guy again.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I think the fans were, they were just getting behind Ink Inc. And, I mean, honestly, they weren't just getting behind them. They've been behind us because we were different. You know, we showed the fans something different. But honestly, I think it was almost time for, you know, Shannon to show his true colors and then me show my true colors about the whole respect thing for me. And then him, the whole dilly gaff, he does his own thing type of way, which I liked about the tag team because you never knew what you were going to get each Thursday night because, well, that we were on.
Stab.
Which it, I was thankful for every time we were on there, for every minute. But to be honest with you, I thought that him turning his way and then me staying with the whole respect because that's who I am anyways, it was going to bring out a lot of creativity between me and Shannon. And honestly, I wanted to get in the ring with Shannon. And that's still hopefully to come. Like, I really want to get in there with him because I think we could do some really great stuff in that ring and tell one hell of a story.
That's awesome. Shannon, I've got another caller coming in. Let me find out who we've got, okay? Area code 347, who do I have tonight?
This is Fred. How you doing?
Freddie, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. Did you have a question you wanted to ask Jesse real quick?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Jess if I know that he's not working with TNA right now. Has he ever thought of stepping the ropes with the WWE?
Oh, that's a very good question. I have definitely been driving down that path a little bit this past year and a half. I actually just got done with their tryout in February, so we will see.
Now, the rumor's been out there forever, Jesse, and if you're not allowed to say, I understand, but the rumor has been out there that Jesse Neal's all ready to be tied up to that cruiserweight division that they're holding out for on the WWE Network. Are you at liberty to say anything about that or no?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, you never know what you're going to get with Jesse Neal in that ring. I've been up to a lot of great things. I've been training my ass off this past year and a half, and honestly, I'm doing better than I ever thought I would be doing, and hopefully, you know, I'm on the right. I mean, I know I'm on the right path, but hopefully, we get to show you guys something very, very cool very soon. Hopefully, I can be a part of anything they have to offer.
Excellent, Roy Lusher. I still have you online. Did you have another question you'd like to ask Jesse? And I just lost him.
All right,
Ashley. Did you have another question you'd like to ask?
Not at all. I'm good.
Okay. Sean and Bo, any questions at all?
Well, where'd they go? They text me.
So, Jesse, where do we go from now? I guess, what have you been up to so fans who haven't been able to follow you as readily, you know, as watching you every week on TNA, what have you been, I guess, where have you been wrestling? What have you been up to?
I've actually been wrestling down here in Florida a lot, where I'm from, of course, because, you know, local. But I'm more busier than I've ever been in my career. So all my stuff that I'm doing nowadays is on YouTube. All you got to do is look up my name. I mean, there's so many things that I'm involved with, especially things that aren't advertised or anything like that. Like, I'm on the local news here in Orlando for doing my anti-bullying campaigns and stuff locally here. And I volunteer with Child Hunger Projects. You know, we raise money with some of the indie shows that are coming up, you know, and I go out and I sign autographs for the kids and stuff like that and help raise money for them and stuff like that. So, you know, the local communities are definitely taking note of it and sending out their news cameras. So I'm still on camera.
Cool.
Still on TV in my own little way, my volunteer way. But, yeah, we do a lot of things like breast cancer awareness and stuff like that. So I'm very busy down here in Florida doing autograph sessions and stuff like that for them. And a lot of the indie shows down here, too, are getting involved more, you know, with donating and fundraisers, charities and stuff like that. And I'm honored to be a part of that as well.
So who have you been working with down in Florida as far as promotions?
Let's see, FOW down in Deerfield, Miami area.
The Future of Wrestling? The Future of Wrestling?
Yep, Future of Wrestling. They've actually been keeping me real busy. You know, pro wrestling down there, that's this Saturday. CWF in Orlando. Let's see, Vintage Wrestling in Sanford. FUW in Tampa. Let's see, I wrestle like a lot of the NXT guys when they got released. I wrestle a lot of those guys out in Tampa. So I'm actually honored just to do that too, because, you know, out in Tampa they have the school or whatever. So, and I Believe in Wrestling in Orlando. Let's see, I'm trying to remember now. I'm telling you, I've been busy.
Have you got to work with my buddy Barrington Hughes? I think he wrestles for Future of occasionally.
Yeah.
Didn't know
yes,
if you crossed
yes,
paths
yes,
with
I
him
have.
Or not.
I have not crossed paths with him yet. Not yet, anyways.
Okay.
But there is coming up.
Did I see something correctly? Did you go over to Japan for a little while? Or am
no,
I reading?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. I must have got you mixed up with somebody.
I definitely want to. So if anybody out there hears this, yes, Jesse Neal wants to go to Japan.
Has Jesse Neal been to Japan?
No, I've never been. I was actually in the Mediterranean, Italy, Spain, France, all those countries and stuff when I was in the Navy, but never really got to go over to Japan, and that's kind of where I want to go. I want to at least experience the culture and the respect that they have over there, and I really can't wait to get over there and do whatever I can do in the ring. I'm there.
Very cool. So what do you have coming up that you want to promote for us real quick, Jesse?
Let's see. Let me promote myself.
Absolutely. Pimp yourself, buddy.
anybody can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Tout. It's just The Jesse Neal. Facebook, there's a lot of fake ones out there. It's facebook.com/bookJesseNeal. And if any promoter out there hears this and wants to book Jesse Neal, me and Shannon are actually talking about teaming back up on the indies too. So if y'all are interested with Ink Ink maybe, or just Jesse Neal or Shannon, either one, I can always get a hold of them too. Just email me at bookjesseneal@gmail.com. And anything to advertise, it's just I got really a lot of shows coming up pretty much every weekend. I know a big week of shows is the Comic-Con down in Miami. That's the July 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. 4 days of wrestling. That's what we live for, man. 3 or 4 days of wrestling straight. That's what we do. And there's going to be, I've heard, over 20,000 people going to be there, so it's going to be a blast. I went last year, too, and it was awesome, good time. It was a really good time.
I'll tell you what, we can't wait to see you on on our tubes again. I mean, you're a phenomenal athlete. I love watching you wrestle, love watching you perform. I think you do a great job, and we need to see more Jesse Neal on TV.
I'm not have to read
about it on a computer screen.
No, I am 110% agreeing with you right now. I cannot wait to get back on TV, not just for myself because, you know, I mean, I got to be out there for myself, but also for the fans because I've been working on a lot of real things that I'm not afraid to say anymore because, you know, before it was, you know, I was that new boy, you know, the greenhorn, you know, I had to watch what I say and stuff, but now I have nothing to lose because I know how it is. I know what it takes to be in this business now. I have lost everything to be in this business. And when I make it there, trust me, a lot of real stuff's going to come out. And I've been working on that now on promos. I've released a few of them on YouTube and stuff, but I haven't even touched the surface of what Jesse Neal has to offer. So I have this new character. It's more of a, not a character, but a message that I'm there to relay, and it's called the Dog of War. And it's more of a message. It's more of a way of life. And I think a lot of people are going to dig it because it's real. You know, and I'm not afraid
to push
the envelope or go over the edge. So it's going to be good stuff.
I guess before we let you go for the night, Jesse, what's your take, I guess? You've been out of the big two screen for a little while. What's your take on current WWE and current TNA product? And even Ring of Honor, if you watch that at all.
To be honest with you, I haven't watched TNA since I left. But just because I missed the boys, you know what I mean? I watched a little bit of it the other night, and I missed the boys a lot being on the road and with, you know, the camaraderie and stuff that we had there, because they have one hell of a roster. So, you know, I miss them a lot. But I've been watching WWE a lot lately, and I feel that they're trying to start to bring in new talent and new people, especially with the new school going on in Orlando, right here where I live. I mean, I just listen to the rumors too, because I don't have any insight or anything, but you know, it just sounds like they're doing big things, man, and I would be honored to be a part of something like that, because I feel like I can grow, you know, and become that, not really wrestler, but an entertainer, you know what I mean? Just not in the ring, but also outside, because I want to do a lot of other things too, you know, like act or and be involved more in charities and fundraisers and stuff, because I do that now voluntarily, you know. And I don't get paid for it.
Yeah, tell you what, I've been watching a lot of NXT lately. Do you get to watch that at all? Because I tell you what, they've got some serious talent in NXT right now.
I have wrestled a bunch of guys that have come out of NXT, and I know a lot of the guys that are in NXT, and they're creating waves, man. They're creating something. Mm-hmm. They got something brewing there, and I'm telling you, in the next few years, man, WWE is going to blow up with the guys in NXT, because those guys have a lot of talent.
Who are your favorites right now to watch? Who do you think is going to be the ones that blow up?
Xavier. He is my favorite. Xavier Woods. He is my favorite. I've known him since TNA and in NXT, man, he has so much excitement, and so you watch one of his matches and you know he loves what he's doing. And that's what it takes to be a pro wrestler. You know, you just look at him and you know what he loves. He loves what he's doing. And that's what draws me in as a fan to him. You know, he's awesome in the ring. He's very athletic, and he's definitely a contender to be watching for.
Obviously, Bray Wyatt has stepped up his game quite a bit, and rumors are already circulating they're on their way to that big show.
Mm-hmm.
But Leo Kruger, I enjoy watching him big time as well. He's just a certain intensity about that man. I just like watching him perform in the ring as well.
I agree, definitely. I'm telling you, the great thing about NXT is that they have all kinds of different, you know what I mean? They just don't have one, you know, stereotype or prototype or, you know what I mean, like category you want to put them in. They have all across the board, and that's what's scary. That's what's a good thing, you know, and it leaves the fans, of course, wanting more, and they're going to get more, trust me, in the future.
Very cool. Justin Neal, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. You're a class act, and we can't wait, like I said, we can't wait to see you on the screen again. You definitely deserve it.
Thank you, man.
Wish
I really
you nothing but the best
it.
Of luck in the future, and hope good things come to you soon.
Definitely, man. I agree, and I really appreciate it, man. I'm definitely one
dude. I'll send you out an invite so you can hook up with Pro Wrestling Obsession on our fan page. We got a lot of pro wrestlers there who like to interact with us too, and I'd love to keep talking to you. So I'll send you shoot you that here in a little while. But thank you again.
Sounds
Have a great evening, and hopefully we get to talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, boss. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. All right, that was Jesse Neal, former TNA tag team specialist with Ink Inc. Had a great time talking with him tonight. He had a lot to say there. That was a lot of fun. Blitz Forster, what do you think?
I'm definitely very impressed.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sean. I'm sorry.
I'm just sitting back enjoying how the interview went.
Cool. Bo, what did you think after listening to Jesse talk?
I thoroughly enjoyed his interview.
Yeah, I thought he was very enlightening to speak with. Ashley, did you have fun talking to him?
The time that I came up from the phone, because I was having phone trouble. Yes, I did. He's very professional. I like him.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. We got a phone call coming in. Let's see who we got. Aerial code 928. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Roy Lusher again.
Roy, you just missed that. I was trying to get you for another question for Jesse, and we just parted.
That's not a problem. That's not a problem at all. Just, you know, take it for the rest of the show and whatever happens.
All right. It's time, guys, to move on to our next segment. Time to talk about the World Wrestling Entertainment. We're going to start off tonight with you, Ashley. What do you want to talk about with WWE first?
Huh.
Oh, for crying out loud. You're not going to give me...
I did not catch WWE this week because I've been busy.
All right,
before,
all right.
But I did hear...
Ashley?
But I did hear that...
Ashley? Ashley.
Yes.
All right. Well, I got that out of my system. Bo Johnson, what do you want to talk about with WWE?
I want to talk about the impact that, the perceived impact of Bray Wyatt's promo on Raw that they had.
Yes.
Ooh.
Not just Bray Wyatt, but the Wyatt family and as a whole.
All right, let's talk about it. What's your thoughts? I was kind of hoping we'd get into a discussion about the Wyatt family. Like I was telling Jesse, I'm very, very impressed, and I will give props to Blitz Forrester because he's the one who kind of got me to watching Bray, and I totally agree with his assessment that it reminds me of a Danny Spivey, Waylon Mercy type gimmick from back in the very early 90s. But he is just on top of his game, and I'm loving what I'm seeing on NXT. And now that he's, you know, moving on, what are you thinking, Bo?
Well, considering that the promo showed all three of the family members, Rowan and Harper, as they, you know,
right,
were prominently shown, they weren't just background figures, whatever, the whole family is coming up. And
mm-hmm.
I haven't actually watched a lot of Rowan's work, but Luke Harper, the former Brody Lee, is actually fairly impressive in the ring. And so if, you know, and I've seen some of the work in NXT. And so if they are allowed to bring up the whole gimmick, the whole nine yards, including their pretty creepy theme,
mm-hmm.
I think it's for them.
It's kind of cool. I'm sorry, Bo. It's kind of cool watching Full Sail University on NXT and watching the hands back and forth waving and an almost a hypnotic, cultish vibe going on. You know, it's interesting to me to see if WWE would keep that because they have a tendency not to give too much pop to the heels. Do you think they'll keep it going?
I hope so.
Me too. Blitz Forrester. Now's your
Bo
chance to talk about the Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family.
Bo kind of took most of what I was going to say, but I want to talk about the entrance music that went with the promo.
Okay.
And the theme music that the family is using right now is called Broken Out in Love. I don't know who, and it's performed by Mark Crozer and the Rels. And I suggest everybody listen to it, and it is amazing. It just fits perfectly with the gimmick, which is not
right.
Something that I say too often about any entrance music.
And you say, are you? Hang on a second, Sean. I have the misfortune, well, not misfortune, I like it, but I think I missed the entire I did miss the entire Bray Wyatt promo on Raw. I did not know what happened because I got Hulu Plus and I get the 1.5 hour cut down episode that I watched the next day. So I didn't get to see any of this and didn't even know he had a promo on Raw until just a little while ago. Are you talking, Sean, about his music that he uses on NXT, or are you talking about music that was on the promo for Raw?
I'm mostly talking about the music he uses in NXT, but I think, and Bo, you can correct me if I'm wrong,
music.
I think they use the same.
Okay.
It's the same music, Sean.
Okay, that's what I thought. And just to, whoever built this video package, the video promo, deserves a big bonus.
So, in your opinion, is it still reminiscent of Waylon Mercy, or are you thinking it's now progressing?
It's definitely an evolution.
Okay. Area code 937, who do I have on the line?
So, hello, how you doing tonight, guys? You got the Buckeye Big Mouth on the line.
All right. Brad is here with us tonight, the Buckeye Big Mouth himself. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good, doing good. We just wrapped up another edition of Smart Mark Pro Wrestling Radio tonight.
Yep.
So I thought I'd give you guys a call.
Yeah, we just got done talking to Jesse Neal just a little bit ago.
Oh, man, I missed that. Shit.
You just missed it. We had a great conversation with him, so please
re-listen. I'll check out the podcast.
Yeah, get the podcast and re-listen to this if you would.
I will.
We're talking WWE right the minute, Brad. So what, we're talking about the Wyatt family and their appearance on Raw with the promo. What are you thinking?
I saw that promo, and it did, you know, you guys mentioned Waylon Mercy. Excuse me, my dog's giving me a bunch of hell. Yeah. Anyways, I saw a lot of the early, it's more, to me it is more of a revamped Waylon Mercy promo. You know, it has a lot of the trappings of the old Waylon Mercy, but I think it's more updated.
Very good.
So,
who's calling in from 347?
I do have one question, though, for the Blitz, if he is there.
Hang on just a second, Brad, okay? 347, who am I talking to?
All
right. Let's do this trivia.
Oh, is it you, JCD?
Yep.
All right, hang on with me here. We're talking WWE right the minute.
Let's do it.
Yes, Brad, go ahead and ask Sean a question. Buckeye Big Mouth.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Doing good, bro.
It's good.
He said he wasn't going to talk to you anymore unless you call him champ.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, if I remember correctly, and I know you have it contested tonight, but you did promise the Buckeye Big Mouth a rematch.
Yes.
Well,
we got to make sure the Blitz comes out of it tonight alive first.
I will bow down and call you the champ tonight, okay? I will concede to that.
All right,
okay.
Buckeye, hang on just a minute. Roy Luther, what are you thinking with the Wyatt family?
I think this is going to be a big thing. I understand that maybe coming off of the Shield, that a lot of people are going to take it as it's too soon for them, considering the Shield is just getting a big name in the company. However, you know what? People complain that up and comers aren't getting the same thing in the company. So I'm going to say that I expect big things, at least from Wyatt himself, if not the other two, which I don't know the youngest, the third member of the law, the second one, so-so, but Bray himself, even Steve Austin himself said that given the right gimmick, this guy was the future of the business.
Excellent. JCD, your thoughts on the Wyatt family's promo on Raw? Do we have your son with us too? Is that what I'm hearing in the background?
No, that's not him.
That's not him. Okay.
I've seen a lot of these promos because they ran a lot of them on NXT, and the one they showed Monday night isn't even the most extreme or intense of them all. These promos are just going to get better in the next couple of weeks, so be prepared for that. As far as what to expect from them, Harper and Rowland are the NXT tag champs right now.
Right.
So you would think they'll be in line for some sort of push. They're a big bruising team. You know, something that the WWE really, I mean, even with, except for like Tons of Funk, which is more of a joke, they don't have that big bruising heel style team. So they'll be interesting. Wyatt's just going to go straight to the moon. I mentioned this on one of the shows. I think it was Tuesday night's show with Jay and Will and Toph and everything. I could see them eventually feuding with the Shield over those tag titles. And that could be your way that, you know, eventually Rollins is going to be a face. Reigns is going to do his own thing, and Ambrose is just going to be a phenomenal star. That could be your way to kind of segue into the Shield breaking apart, put the tag belts on Rollins and Harper, and then just let the Wyatt family be that new dominant little stable clique, and they just go off from there.
There's been a lot of people, John, talking about trying to hook the Wyatt family in with Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger and putting them all together. Is that a mistake?
Yeah, why would you do that? One's not connected, one's nowhere near connected to the other. Why? The Wyatt family's not about immigration or their own type of America. Wyatt is a cult leader.
Right. Bo, what are you thinking about that? I've heard that from more than one person. Does that make any sense to you at all, trying to hook up Coulter and Swagger with these guys, or you don't mess with a good thing?
You know, I haven't heard anything about that. I might be looking in the wrong places. But I don't like that idea. I think, I mean, I could see Coulter maybe in a strange, interesting twist. I don't see the partnership of Coulter and Swagger as their real American gimmick, teaming up with his Texas Chainsaw Massacre ass slash I forgot a Waylon Murphy gimmick that they've got going on. So, I mean, it has to take an interesting twist. Coulter and Swagger, or even just Coulter in with this, the Wyatt family, but they're better off without him.
I agree. Blitz Forcer, what else do we want to talk about with WWE before we move on to, into our next segment?
Curtis Axel, who managed on Monday night to get a count-out victory over John Cena.
Cliff, can you say that again? I got cut off for some reason and only heard the last few words.
Curtis Axel on Raw.
Okay.
Got a count-out victory over John Cena.
So we've got 2 weeks in a row where Michael McGillicuddy has wrestled in the main event of a show. So what's your thoughts?
Well, my one caveat as usual, hopefully creative does not mess it up. It's a good thing, it's a positive step.
Roy, are you liking this Curtis Axel being elevated so quickly?
Yes, very much. One of the biggest complaints, you know, especially from the IWC, but even, you know, longtime wrestling fans, is that they don't do enough to promote new talent. It's always the same guys on top. It's always the Ortons, the Zenas, the, you know, even the Punks. It's always the same guys on Punk, or on top, I mean. By putting, you know, Joe Hennig up on top, even though he didn't, you know, it was an equal match where it was 50-50 offense with Cena, and then the Triple H match, you know, he got the majority of the offense, but he's, and it still got in some good spots. It still elevates Hennig in the fans' eyes to that he was in the ring with them. Now, did he get pinfall victories? No, and that's going to upset the IWC, but oh well, the WWE's got a long-term booking plan for Hennig, and I wouldn't be surprised if that included an IC title run, a U.S. title run, or, you know, something along those lines that would just put him up into the upper tier, you know, with clean-cut pinfalls over top talent so that, you know, the normal fan forgets that he's Michael McGillicuddy and just, you know, remembers him by his new gimmick and who he is now.
And it looks like time is up for this segment. We're ready to segue into the next segment of the evening, which is what I think everybody's been chomping at the bit for. As Blitz Forrester, you got your skills ready, correct?
Correct.
It's time to get blitzed. Sean Forrester will be Pro Wrestling Obsession, World Trivia Champion of the World, is ready to defend his title tonight. Sean, not against one person, but two in a triple threat match tonight. Champion, are you ready? Because you weren't expecting this.
Bring it on.
Are you there, champion?
Champion's here. Bring it on.
Champion's not coming through very well, so Champion needs to get his connection going here so I can hear you better.
Yep, I'm here. Bring it on. Bring it on.
All right. John Demaselli is one of the challengers, the world-famous JCD. Are you ready to challenge the Blitz tonight, sir?
Let's do this.
Okay. And Sean, as promised, the masked challenger has shown up. And rumor has it he's going to pull the mask off now and reveal himself to you. Masked challenger, who are you?
It's Roy Warren Lucher, the most knowledgeable person on the internet, the wrestling historian, and I'm ready to take the title.
All right,
man.
Blitz. Yeah, I told you, Blitz. That you better be on your game, because I told you somebody very competent, not one, but two individuals who are incredibly competent, are ready to come and take your title away from you tonight. So this is how it works, gentlemen. JCD, you already know how it goes. Roy, it's pretty simple here. What I'm going to do is ask a question. If Sean knows the answer, he'll say Blitz. JCD, if you know the answer, you'll say JCD. Roy, you just say Roy. And whoever says their name, I will call out. You will give me the answer. If you are right, you score. If you do not get it right, the other two gentlemen will have a chance to butt in and take it away from you. Guys, this is 50 questions tonight.
Really?
50. Are
okay,
you ready?
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Let's begin. Who were the three wrestlers in the Desperados stable from WCW in 1991?
I know this.
Blitz.
Blitz.
It was Black Bart, Dutch Mantel, and Deadeye Dick.
And the champion has just taken a 1-0 lead. Question number two. The Valiant Brothers defeated Tony Garea and which wrestler for the WWF World Tag Team Championship in 1979?
JCD.
Yes.
Tony Garea.
Roy.
Hang on, Roy. JCD beat you to it. Roy, hang on.
Wait.
Answer, JCD.
Larry Zbyszko.
Correct.
Roy.
Too late, Roy. JCD got in before you did. All right. 1-1-0. Question number three. Go ahead.
Oh, did you say 1973 or 79?
79.
Okay, my bad then. Go ahead.
That's all right. Be careful, guys. We're all talking over each other, so I'm trying to call on the person and just let that person finish before the next person jumps in. Question number three. Affectionately known as the Round Mound of Sound, who created, promoted, and co-hosted the Superstars of Wrestling show?
Blitz, or Roy.
Blitz. Roy.
Hey, Roy. Joe Pedicino.
That's correct. 1-1-1.
I'm sorry, I thought you said Blitz to get in. I didn't know you said
I
your
thought
name.
Blitz called his name. Blitz, you did not say your name?
No, somebody else said my name.
Somebody else said Blitz.
Yeah, that's why
I heard, in all fairness, Blitz, then I heard Roy.
That's what I thought I heard, too. So somebody said Blitz's name.
I was
name.
Saying Blitz. Okay, I got to remember to say Roy.
Yes, please say Roy, or you're going to call the name of the champion. All right, guys. 1-1-1. Good game going so far. Question number four. Who won the Dusty Rhodes-owned Professional Wrestling Federation Florida heavyweight title over Mike Graham before losing to Dustin Rhodes in 1989?
Roy.
Roy.
Big Steel Man, Fred Ottman.
Incorrect.
Okay.
JCD or Blitz?
Blitz
Forrester.
Was it Al Perez?
The champion has just taken the lead, 2-1-1. Blitz's number will always be first, JCD will be second, Roy, your number is last, so 2-1-1. Question number five, winning the belt a record 7 times, which wrestler was also the first and last WWWF United States champion? So he won it 7 times and was the first and last champion.
JCD.
Yes.
Bobo Brazil.
That is correct. 2-2-1. Hey, Bo and Ashley, we got a barn burner going, don't we, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Number six, this is a multiple-part question, so listen carefully, gentlemen. Paul Ellering introduced his stable, the Legion of Doom, in the early 80s in Georgia, consisting of which 9 wrestlers?
Roy.
Roy, go.
Okay, you got... Would Ellering count himself?
No.
Okay, we got both Hawk and Animal, 1 and 2.
Yep.
You got Jake the Snake Roberts, that would be 3.
Yep.
You got the original Sheik, that would be 4. You got
the spoiler,
that would be 5. Matt Bourne, that would be 6. Arn Anderson, that would be 7. King Kong Bundy, that would be 8. And the Iron Sheik, that would be 9.
Rock on, Roy. Beautiful. 2-2-2. I love it. Impressive.
That was a good one.
That was impressive. I enjoyed that one. Good job, Roy.
Thank you. All right.
Everybody's all tied up after 6 questions. Let's move on, shall we? Which wrestler became a veterinarian while beginning his wrestling career, which was also reflected in his wrestling moniker?
Blitz.
It
was Dr. X Bill Miller.
Dr. Bill Miller is correct. The champion has regained the lead. Okay, question number 8. Adopting a robot-like mask and gimmick and wrestling as Steel, this wrestler won the CMLL World Heavyweight Championship.
Roy.
Yes.
It would be Sean Morley, a.k.a. Val Venus.
That is correct. 3-2-3. Question number 9. I know you would know
that
one.
Just as a trivia note, that was how Lita got her start because she was steal second in CMLL.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yep.
Question number 9, guys. Who taped several segments of a new talk show to replace Piper's Pit, only to have it canned by Vince McMahon due to its atrocity?
Roy.
I got Roy first.
Missy Hyatt.
That is correct. 3-2-4. Sorry, JC. Barely got you.
All right.
Question number 10. Referee and wrestler Dangerous Danny Davis competed under what moniker as a preliminary wrestler in the WWF before taking on his more famous gimmick?
Roy. He was Mr. X.
That is correct. All right. We have got through our first 10 questions. Every question has been answered correctly, and the masked wrestler, or masked trivia master, has come out of the gates on fire. 3 for the champion, 2 for JCD, and 5 for Roy Lusher. As we now go to the lightning round here, guys, the next 15 questions are all going to be original names, the real names of a wrestler, and you tell me who the wrestler is.
Aww.
You understand that?
I know this.
No, it's not as simple as you think it is, Ashley. You guys ready for this? You understand?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Who is Michael Jerome Tweet?
Tweet?
It's either Tweet or Tuite. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. T-U-I-T-E.
Isn't that the wall?
Who's answering?
Roy. Yeah, isn't that the wall?
That is the wall.
Mountain.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't see
3,
my name
2,
first.
3, 2, 6.
Yeah.
Remember to call your name out, guys, okay?
Will do.
Next question, next person. Francisco Islas Rueda.
Oh my God.
Roy.
Super crazy.
That is correct. 3-2-7. What's Forrester?
What?
Are you still there?
Yes.
Champion, you're on the ropes here, brother. All right, let's move on here. Charles Eugene Wolfe Jr.
JCD.
Yes, sir.
Gino Hernandez.
That is correct. 3-3-7. Good job, JCD. Thomas Borick.
Roy.
Yes, sir.
Paul Diamond.
Correct. 3-3-8.
He's also the only pro wrestler to ever be a world champion rugby player.
Next one, Anthony White.
Roy.
JCD.
Yes, sir.
Tony Atlas.
That's correct. 3-3-9. James George Janos.
Roy.
Yes, sir.
Jesse Ventura.
That's correct. 3-3-10. All right, let me check something real quick. Blitz Forrester, do you still have a pulse?
Yeah.
Champ, are you still here? Hang on a second,
yeah.
Blitz. Hang on. Okay. Try it again. Okay. Are you awake now, Blitz?
Yes.
All right. Let's get back in the game here, Blitz. 3-3-10 as Roy's starting to take over this competition. Kurt Koski.
Roy.
Yes, sir.
Fandango.
Incorrect. JCD or Blitz?
Can you repeat that, please?
Kurt Koski.
JCD.
Yes, sir.
Rusty Brooks.
That is correct. 3-4-10. Reuben Kane.
Blitz.
Roy.
Blitz.
Robert Gibson.
That is correct, Blitz. Roy, don't answer when it's not your turn, buddy.
That was me answering.
No, Blitz beat you to it. I said Blitz.
Oh, I said Roy first.
No, you did not. Blitz got beat you to it. You guys need to listen to who I call on because I'm the one listening who's saying their name first. 4-4 to 10. Christopher Kindred.
JCD.
Yes, sir.
Brian Kendrick.
Not correct.
Blitz.
Blitz
Flanagan.
That's correct. 5-4-10. Stuart Alexander Bennett.
Blitz.
Yes, champ.
Wade Barrett.
That's correct. 6-4-10. Raymond Fernandez.
JCD.
Roy.
JCD got you in.
Hercules.
That is correct. 6-5-10. James Allen Cox.
JCD.
Blitz.
James Storm.
That's correct. 7-5-10. John Wisniewski Jr.
Roy.
Greg
the Hammer Valentine.
That is correct. 7-5-11. Kevin William Vaughn.
JCD.
Yes, sir.
Roy.
Hang on, JCD.
Lance Von Erich.
All right, you just got... Did you say it?
Yeah, Lance Von Erich.
Okay, thank you. Yes, that is correct.
I said it like 3 times.
11. I'm sorry, you just weren't coming across for some reason.
Oh, okay.
All right, how about Brandon Silvestri?
Blitz.
Yes.
Low key.
That is correct. All right, let's take a breather here. We're halfway through our competition. The score right now is our champion, Blitz Forrester, 8. JCD, 6. And the masked trivia champion of the universe, Roy Lusher, with 11. Are we ready for the second half of our competition, gentlemen, or do we need to breathe here for a second?
No, let's go.
Bring it.
You ready, Roy?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Getting back to our regular questions here. Question number 11. Conan made his WWF debut in 1992 under what moniker?
JCD.
Roy.
Yes, sir. JCD.
Max Moon.
That's not correct.
Roy.
Yes, sir.
Max Moon.
That's still not correct.
What?
It was.
Roy.
You're done, Roy.
Blitz.
Sorry. Blitz Forrester,
okay,
what do you got?
Now I remember. It was the Comet Kid.
That is correct. Now 9-6-11. He actually wrestled one match as Comet Kid before taking the Max Moon gimmick. All right. Before Jushin Thunder Liger premiered his new gimmick in New Japan Pro Wrestling back in 1989, he wrestled under his own name for what promotion before being called back to Japan?
Roy.
JCD.
Roy.
That would be Calgary Stampede.
That is correct. 9-6-12. Next question. Who were the three wrestling Valiant brothers and what were their nicknames?
Roy.
Yes, sir.
That would be Jimmy, Jerry, and Johnny.
Whoa. Stop. Jimmy, what was his nickname?
Oh, I'm sorry. Jimmy was Handsome Jimmy Valiant.
Okay.
Johnny was Luscious Johnny Valiant. And
yes.
Jerry was Gentleman Jerry Valiant.
That is correct, Roy. 9-6-13. Who was the very first NWA/ECW world champion and whom did he defeat in a tournament in 1992 to win the inaugural strap?
JCD.
Yes, sir.
I Jimmy Snuka, and he beat Salvatore Bellomo.
Correct. 9-7-13. Which WWF wrestler participated in the 1978 World's Strongest Man competition, finishing 8 out of 10 competitors?
Blitz.
Yes.
In Patera.
Not correct.
JCD.
JCD.
Ivan Putski.
That is correct. Roy, are you still on?
Can you hear me?
I can now. You dropped. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it dropped. I said Roy on, what question was it? The first ECW champion, and then I got disconnected when I said...
Yeah, I saw you dropped right as the question was answered, so I apologize, Roy. But you're back.
Oh.
9-8-13. Are we ready? Which WWF wrestler? I just read that one. I'm sorry. Thank God I'm getting myself off here. Sorry. All right. After Earthquake squashed his Python Damien with two Earthquake splashes, Jake the Snake Roberts brought in an even bigger Python,
JCD.
Whom he named JCD.
Lucifer.
That is correct. 9-9-13. After Tully Blanchard and his then-wife Courtney Shattuck divorced, she remarried with what wrestler in 2005?
Blitz.
Roy.
Yes, sir. Blitz.
It was Magnum T.A.
Yes. Isn't that ironic? Tully's wife gets divorced with him and ends up marrying Magnum T.A. What a quinky-dink. 10-9-13 is the score. In the very first Saturday night's main event, on May 11th of 1985, the Junkyard Dog, seconded by his mother, defeated whom?
JCD.
Yes, sir.
Roy.
Got it.
JCD, did you answer?
Yeah.
What'd you answer?
Pete Doherty.
The Duke of Dorchester himself, Pete Doherty, is correct, making the score 10-10-13. Shohei Giant Baba was a pitcher for what professional baseball team before turning his attention to the squared circle?
JCD.
JCD.
It was the Yakamura Giants.
That is correct. 10-11-13. Major Guns, Jason Knight, Dawn Marie, and Ivory were all managers for what wrestler?
JCD.
Roy.
Yes, sir, JCD. JCD.
Lance Storm.
That is correct. 10-12-13. As we get to our final lightning round of, once again, wrestlers' names, real names. All right. Only 3 points separate first from last here in this competition. Gentlemen, are we ready for the final 15 wrestlers' real names?
Yep, for that.
All right, here we go. Terry Zopinski.
Roy.
Roy.
It's a warlord.
That is correct. 10-12-14. John Watson.
Blitz
Forrester.
Mikey Whipwreck.
That is correct. 11-12-14. Mark Hildreth.
Blitz. Van Hammer.
That's correct. 12-12-14. Merced Solis.
Roy. Tito Santana.
That is correct. 12-12-15. Michael Lee Alfonso.
Roy.
Yes, sir.
Mike Awesome.
Blitz. I can't believe you missed that.
Rest in peace. 16. Rest in peace.
Yes. Paul Antopani.
Can you repeat that?
Paul Antopani.
Blitz.
Blitz.
Paul Roma.
That's correct. 13-12-16. Robert William Howard.
Roy.
Roy.
Hardcore Holly.
That is correct. 13-12-17. Curtis Hussey.
Roy.
Roy.
I know I got this wrong earlier, but I'll get it right now. That is Fandango.
That is? No, it's not. It's. You better say it correctly or he won't let you on this competition any longer.
It's Fandango.
There we go. 13-12-18. Al Rogowski.
Roy.
Yes, sir.
Ole Anderson.
That is correct. 13-12-19. David Ferrier.
Blitz. It was Jimmy Del Rey.
That is correct. 14-12-19. John Benson Williams.
Blitz
Forrester.
Ian Rotten.
That's correct. 15-12-19. Michael Seitz.
Roy.
Yes, sir.
That's good old Freebird Michael Hayes.
That is correct. 15-12-20. James William Raker. Raher, I'm sorry.
Roy.
Yes, sir.
That's Jimmy Superfly Snooker.
That is also correct. 15-12-21. Thaddeus Bullard.
Can you repeat that?
Thaddeus Bullard.
Blitz.
JCD.
Blitz.
What? Titus O'Neil.
How?
Titus O'Neil is correct. And our final question of the night, Jonathan Rechner.
Roy.
Yes, sir.
Balls Mahoney.
That is correct. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. The mighty Blitz Forrester will be surrendering his PWO World Trivia Championship to the masked contender, the masked challenger, the masked wrestling master, Roy Warren Lusher. Champion, how does it feel to take home this prestigious title in an absolute brutal three-way of a final score of 16-12 to 22. What do you have to say, new champion?
Hey, I got to say something, by the way. I just went back online because I stayed offline for this just because, I'm trying to play fair here. I just want to throw a shout-out to Harry Simon, who I noticed in the IWF group has been playing along this whole time. It's an honor for me to be here, and I will go up against any and all challenger. That's not a problem at all.
Roy, will you be here next week to defend your championship?
I don't work next Friday, so odds are I will be here.
All right. Roy is now the new champion. Roy, are you going to stick with us for the rest of the show, or are you heading out?
I got to head out. My wife just came down and was like wondering what I was doing. She kind of hurt me
understand.
Yeah, so not a problem.
I understand, Roy. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. We'll see you next week as you defend your championship.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Very much.
Thank you. I got something to say.
Hang on. I'll get to you here in a second, Ashley. Where's my buddy JCD?
Right here.
JCD, what's your thoughts?
You know what? I still want a shot at one of them one-on-one.
Fair enough. So you're laying the gauntlet down for another challenge at another time.
Yeah, one on one. No three
no
ways.
No triple threat match.
Yeah, because if I don't take this the wrong way, but God, what I would have done to Blitz if this was straight up one on one.
trash talking continues. John, you hanging out with us, or are you heading out now?
I'm actually heading out. I'm going to head up to help out with the little guy.
You got it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Talk to you next week. All right.
See you, bud.
Take it easy. Bye.
Former world champion Blitz Forrester, what is going through your mind as we speak?
What's going through my mind is I do believe under championship rules that makes me first in line.
That definitely does. So are you revoking your rematch clause for next week to take on Roy Lusher in a one-on-one?
Yes.
Next week?
Next week.
Next week. All right. You got it. Next week you will be getting your rematch with the new champion. Meanwhile, we have gone way over our time here, gents, so let's move on to our next topic here. So let's get moving. Time for TNA Wrestling Talk. We've got another caller coming in. Hang on just a minute, peeps. And who do I have calling in?
Hi, it's Jordan calling.
Jordan, how are you, sir?
Good. I don't know if it's going to interrupt your TNA segment, but I think it was you or DKG that agreed for a plug for my website.
You know what? It was myself, the Prophet Rick Craig, and before we start TNA, I promised you a shout-out, so go for it.
Well, I'm Jordan Garver. I'm 17 years old. I run a wrestling website called WrestlingWorld247.com. I interview wrestlers from around the world. I've interviewed former WWE superstars. I'm actually interviewing Christian York for my July 27th event, so hopefully you guys talk about him during the TNA segment. And, July 27th, an online event, and information on that is on my website, WrestlingWorld247.com.
And, Jordan, are you a member of Pro Wrestling Obsessions fan page?
Yes, I am. I liked the page today. I checked it out, and this is how I got to your show.
Outstanding. Do you want to hang out with us, or you just wanted to get your shout-out, or do you want to talk TNA with us?
I'll talk TNA with you guys. I'm down.
All right. Ashley, you wanted to say something before we got this thing started. What did you want to say, dear?
Yes. As you know, last weekend, we lost a very, very charismatic wrestler in Hector Garza. He passed him with cancer for quite some time, and he passed away over the weekend. So I just wanted to give out, you know, some prayers for his family, especially his friend who just El Perro Aguayo and his brother Humberto Garza Jr. So I just want to give them shout-outs on the radio.
You know, that is an interesting thing, because when Blitz Forrester and I were talking about him filling in for you, he was one of the guys I suggested that Blitz, you know, feature. And then a day or two later there we saw his name. It's really heartbreaking because he's such a young guy. What was it, cancer?
Lung cancer.
Yes, it was lung cancer. Lung cancer, that's, what was it, I think 46 or something like that, is that right?
43,
that's even worse, oh boy.
And allow me to interrupt quickly, like, he was a legend in wrestling, and you know, that's someone I really respected and I really enjoyed watching. He's a true icon in this business, and he's someone I truly respect. We will all miss him.
All right. All right, guys, let's get on to TNA Wrestling. Once again, your beloved Prophet has not watched the show, so it's my fault. Who has watched the show?
I have.
I catched a bit of last week's show, yeah.
Okay. Blitz Forrester, you have. Let's discuss TNA wrestling. What are we going to start with tonight?
The viewership.
Okay. What about it?
Because last night, TNA went back to the 9 p.m. time, 9 to 11 p.m. time slot.
Right.
And viewership went down 26% from last week, scored a lovely 0.83 cable TV rating.
So, a what rating? Say that again, Sean.
0.83.
Oh, my goodness, that's the worst they've had for...
In other words, the lowest, averaging 1.06 million viewers, this was TNA's least viewed Impact episode in over 3 years.
Wow, that's good.
Now, it could be that it was a taped episode. That could very well be it. But the fact remains that the fans at home are not really caring.
Well, I like what they're doing with the gut check thing. I think that's helping out a bit.
Bo, did you get to watch the episode at all?
I haven't.
You have not? What about you, Mojo? Did you get to see it?
I did not.
Well, Blitz and Jordan, have fun here. What... What happened? Like I said, I missed it as well. So what do we need to talk about, Sean, that was of any relevance?
Main thing being, in a warm-up for Slammiversary, we have James Storm choosing Gunner as his tag team partner.
Right, which we saw last week.
Right. And Gunner came in during an eight-man tag with Chavo Hernandez, Stormy Gunner versus Bad Influence, Rude and Aries, and Gunner proceeded to destroy Aries and put him in a torture rack.
Oh, the torture rack, huh? I haven't seen that since Lex was around.
Indeed. And my question on that is this going to be a step for Gunner to be elevated?
Just getting him back on the air. I mean, I was just thinking about him the other day. I said, good grief, we haven't seen Gunner for a while. What's he, you know, has he been down at OVW, and when's he going to come back? And then, boom, there he is. So I've been waiting for him and waiting for Crimson to make his appearance again. So I don't think they're going to bring him back just to bring him back. I mean, we're talking TNA, so I got to watch what I'm saying. You would think they have a plan. But we know how that goes, right?
Yeah.
So, Jordan, what do you think they're going to do with Gunner?
I think they're going to give him a push, but then they're going to put him a bit back down. That's what I think. Because, remember, he was a bit bigger a few, 5 months ago? He had that big push?
Mm-hmm. He had a semi-decent push, yeah. Where he was stretchering people out on the concrete floor. Remember, he was clobbering everybody on the floor and cracking their skulls as he pulled the mat away.
Those intimidating heels, right? One of those intimidating powerhouses. I think he has a lot of potential, and it's shocking that no one heard of the name Gunner before. Like, he's a good talent.
What are you thinking they're going to do, Ashley?
This might actually be interesting. To be honest, I didn't like Gunner as a heel. I don't know why. It just didn't click in my mind. But hopefully, if they are trying to turn him face, it's going to be a good plan. I'm hoping.
Well, the thing I'm liking about it so far, and like I said, I haven't seen this week's episode, so I would very much like to see what they've done. But I like that they're keeping him as Mr. Intensity and that he's still, you know, storming into the ring and with a lot of energy and a lot of electricity in there and still roughing people up. Even if he is a face, he's still got that bad attitude to him. What are you thinking, Bo Meister?
To be honest, I haven't seen much of Gunnar's work. I caught him off and on when he was, taking out people. But if he is, keeping the same character, just tweaked as a face a little bit, I think it'd be kind of interesting.
What's next, Sean?
All right.
We need to talk about Bully Ray or anything? Did the angle with he and Brooke progress or no?
No, not really.
I don't.
But something that did come up, another addition to the X Division.
Oh, okay.
And it is, and he is Suicide.
That was last week, Sean.
No, he showed up this week, picked up after taking down Kenny King, picked up the X Division title, and got in Saban's face, which means at Slammiversary, we're probably going to see King versus Suicide versus Saban.
Well, they already announced that last week. They already said that match was signed for Slammiversary. Sean.
Yeah.
If we want
to
talk...
Speaking of Suicide, I have a question.
Yes, Ashley.
When I watched TNA, when he came back on, the moves that he was doing reminded me of another wrestler that I know. And it's not Kaz or Daniel.
I know who it is.
Who do you guys think it is?
Christopher Daniels. Which is what I was just going to bring up myself. Do you think it's Christopher Daniels?
It's definitely not Daniels, and I don't think it's Kazarian either.
I think it's Daniels, because if you listen to the promo where he was talking, it sounded just like Daniels.
But he was with
That's my prediction. Anybody else, what do you think? Jordan, what do you think?
Well, he was with bad influence. How are they going to put him in two gimmicks at once?
Well, I think that makes sense. I didn't see the show, so if they were against each other, well, that doesn't mean anything. I guess he could always go back and put on a costume and wrestle later, but
right.
If it wasn't him in the ring, it was him doing the talking.
Well, it's quite easy. Go ahead, Mojo.
I think when I watched it, he did a move where it was like a cat-like move where he got stuck in the ropes. Now, the only wrestler I can actually correlate with that is TJ Perkins.
What?
Yeah. Jeez. But I haven't heard anything about Perkins being signed by TNA. Bliss, what do you think?
He's like an indie star, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's, how could he be Suicide? Is he even signed to a contract with TNA?
No, Perkins is not, to my knowledge, so that's why I don't... Who was the original Suicide?
I think...
Kazarian.
Yeah, it was Kazarian.
Kazarian the original... Was he?
Uh-huh.
So who do you think it is, Bliss?
I'm pretty sure at this point that it is TJ Perkins.
Really? What makes
if
you feel
saying,
that way?
I think a better guess would be the Amazing Red. Maybe you don't know if he's still signed to a TNA contract.
They released Amazing Red. Unless
they
he's done it.
Didn't sign TJ Perkins.
Right. Blitz, why do you think this? Hurry up.
Okay, first thing, and I'm going to get to it, and it is very relevant.
You have 15 seconds.
They can easily put somebody under a mask and talk.
Right.
But when I saw it last night, I decided to do a little research. So I do my homework. And the moveset was indeed very similar to TJ Perkins. And he happened to be about the same size as Kazarian and Daniels.
All right, time's up. We're going to have to get into our final segment of the night. It's time for Back in Time, but we are on a special 5-week interval here in our month cycle. So Back in Time is going to take a back seat for a while, as the Bowmeister has something special planned for us this evening. Bowmeister, what do you have in mind?
Well, I thought about real quickly going over Chikara's iPay-per-view, Never Compromise.
Okay.
Just real quick.
We're going to do that, Bo, and then Ashley, you also are going to talk about Japan wrestling after Bo is finished. Does that sound good?
Yes, it is.
All right, Bowmeister, the floor is yours.
Okay, Chikara presents Anniversario Never Compromise this Sunday, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, at the Trocadero in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 8 matches have been announced, and that looks to be the final total, long screen. Main event bout for the Grand Championship, Eddie Kingston takes his 14th event against the Ringed Wing Warrior, Icarus. Icarus seems to turn over a new leaf, more or less. He's not as much of a Rudo as he has been, even making a plea to Marty Jannetty, who sounds like he's going to be in Icarus's corner for this match.
Very cool.
2 out of 3 falls for the Campeonatos de Parejas. 3.0, Scott Jagged Parker and Shane Matthews take on the 2013 Tag World Grand Prix winners, Pieces of Hate, Jigsaw, and The Shard.
Jigsaw is one of our TNA gut check contestants who did not get through. TNA's loss.
So, that one seems interesting, and I'm actually looking at Pieces of Hate going over here. Keep on rolling on that momentum they got from Tag World. Next match, first ever, and to my knowledge, first time ever, in anywhere, variation of the casket match, the Magi Amasis versus Ophidian in a sarcophagus match.
In a what match?
Sarcophagus. Egyptian.
What in the world
casket.
Is that? Oh, okay.
Egyptian.
The thing with the mummies, and it held the mummies.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm not sure who's going to win that one. It depends on how they play the rules of it, too. Of, you know, they disappear at the end of the match or whatever. But we'll see come Sunday. 3-on-3 showdown. Or Throwdown, excuse me, I'm reading off the official website. Fire Ant, Green Ant, and Assailant, that's the blue one,
that's
take on
the
Denver
Team. That's an awesome team.
Blaster McMassive, Max Smashmaster, and Flex Rumble Crunch, the Devastation Corporation. I haven't seen Flex yet, so I don't know how he's going to do in the ring. But they destroyed Fire Ant and Green Ant at Tag World, which led to the Pieces of Hate making it to the finals. Next match, mandated by Wink Vavasour, Gavin Loudspeaker, the announcer, the ring announcer, takes on Tim Daunce in a hair versus hair match.
What's his name, Gavin Loudspeaker?
That's his name. He's the ring announcer. And,
yeah, I love it.
commentary. Yeah, this isn't going to end well, I'm afraid. Unless we see someone come out and take out Daunce. We'll see. Next match, grudge match between Dasher Hatfield and Delirious. Dasher's coming back from a rib injury, and Delirious we haven't seen in 3 months. 4 months. so we'll see how that one goes. Battle for Trio Supremacy, Spectre Envoy, Hallow Wicked, Frightmare, and Ultramantis Black take on the Colony, Extreme Force, Weak Lavasaurus, Trio of Ant, Arctic Adventure, Arctic Rescue, Arctic Rescue, Orbit Adventure, and Missile Assault. There we go. And that one, there's some bad blood between those guys. Extreme Force keeps unmasking Frightmare. Mojo's well aware of is illegal in Lucha Rules. In the last match, which you can actually catch live on the Freeview on Spark Mark Video on demand at smvod.com. Young Lions Cup rematch, Mark Angelo Setti, the champion, kicks on Saturine.
And when is this taking place again, Bo?
Sunday afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern. You can catch it on smvod.com. It's like $15, I think. Yeah, they can make money somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
My last note on that is that they have a huge announcement listed at the very bottom of the card. Last year they announced King of Trios and the first team, the Extreme Trio. So who knows what could be their big announcement this year.
Very good, Bo. Thank you so much. Before we move on to Ashley, I've got a couple breaking notices that I want to make sure I get out to everybody. It looks like Jim Ross is in Norman, Oklahoma, and it is being destroyed by tornadoes right now. So let's all keep Jim and anybody who's in the Oklahoma and Oklahoma City area. They're just being obliterated with horrible storms and tornadoes again tonight. So if you're out in that area, we give our thoughts and prayers with all of you. Be safe. Breaking news, Keiji Muto, is no longer associated with All Japan Pro Wrestling. So that's pretty big news. He's been with them for quite a while. And last newsworthy thing, finally, for me before I turn it over to Ashley, is to keep... again, Zema Ion in our thoughts, as he has had an appendicitis issue. He's in the hospital and he's having trouble covering his expenses and stuff, so keep him in your thoughts as well. Hopefully he'll be able to come back and give us some more action in TNA wrestling. Ashley and Mojo, let's move on to you for some Japanese news.
All right, so NJPW has actually started the Best of the Super Juniors. And so far, first place is none other than the best foreigner I know, Prince DeWitt. Now,
yes.
Speaking of Prince DeWitt, he, alongside Carl Anderson, Machine Gun K.A., and my personal favorite Samoan besides The Rock, Tammy Tonga, and alongside Bad Fail, have made a heel stable in NJPW called the Bullet Club. Now, pretty much, I saw when they attacked, and I'm thinking what they're trying to do here is kind of make it like an Aces and Eights stable. Now, with that being said, if possible, if TNA decides to go, you know, redo something with NJPW, I think this would be a good, you know, tag match, Aces and Eights, the Bullet Club. What else has been going on with NJPW? Oh, yes, also, before I forget, Ricochet, as you all may know, actually had a match with Prince DeWitt in the Best of the Super J. He lost, but he obviously had one hell of a match. So congratulations to Ricochet on that.
He usually does, doesn't he?
Of course, but with the likes of Prince DeWitt, I throw money at this match. So congrats to
yep.
him.
Both
also,
of them bring it. I don't think they have bad matches, do they?
Never.
Yeah. What else is going on in the Land of the Rising Sun?
Also in the Land of the Rising Sun, the matches for the Best of the Super Juniors for June 1st, it states as follow on their website. It will be DeWitt versus Rocky Romero, Taguchi versus half of the Time Splitters, Bushi, Kenny Omega versus Alex Kozlov. Surprisingly enough, Trent Beretta's in NJPW now, and he'll be going off against Alex Shelley. It'll be Tiger Mask versus Kushida, a CMLL luchador, Titan versus Taichi, D. Brian Kendrick versus Jado, and Takahashi versus Ricochet.
Very good, very good. Is that it, Ashley?
Yes, that is, sir.
All right, guys, we have about 4 minutes, so we can talk about anything we want to. We don't get to talk very much Ring of Honor or some of the other promotions out there. What else do we want to bring up while we have some time to actually do so? Let's not all go at once. Come on, people, what do you want to talk about?
Okay, if no one minds, I'm going to give myself a cheap plug.
We'll do so.
As we know, I do a blog. I run the old Mind's Eye Wrestling blog page for myself, and we are working on a special. I just finished a part one of a special Street Fighter and Pro Wrestling, and I also do Facepalm Friday, took a break this week, and Wishing Well Wednesday, which will be up very soon, as Bo, Cameron G, and I pick apart a topic very similar to that of our Dear Prophets think tank, a homage, if you will.
Yes.
So be prepared that on Pro Wrestling Obsession, there will be some new columns out very soon from the Blitz.
And I will be expecting my royalty check in the
and
mail
soon.
Can I
say one more thing?
Yes, you may, Jordan.
You know, with my website, Wrestling World 247, I had a lot of family, I had a lot of friends supporting me through it. Friends like my friend Ryan, who's listening right now, my family that's listening right now, and all the wrestlers that helped me with the interviews. That's what local wrestling, indie wrestling's about, helping each other. And all these interviews I do, it means a lot. And I hope to see a lot of you guys on July 27th on WrestlingWorld247.com.
Excellent. Where are you from, Jordan?
I'm from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I heard the Canadian accent. We're glad to have you on tonight. I appreciate you joining us. Hopefully you can come back on any time and join us again. We'd love to have you.
Thanks for letting me be on there. I really appreciate it.
You bet it, buddy. All right, we're getting ready to wrap up tonight. Had a very interesting show tonight. I want to give a special thank you once again to Jesse Neal. He was a great guest. It was very interesting hearing his thoughts on, you know, his time in the military service and also growing up with the Team 3D at their academy and his time in TNA wrestling. So very good talk with him. Appreciated very much him being there. We also have, don't forget, please, check out our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Obsession, where you'll continue finding all the latest and greatest news and funny pictures and indie promotions and things like that that'll whet your appetite for professional wrestling. So for Ashley, Miss Mojo Farmer, for the Bowmeister himself, Bo Johnson, and for Sean the Blitz Forester, this is the Prophet Rick Craig. Thank you, and we'll see you again next week with Jules Malone.